Welcome to the 301st Disrupt Education. The number one, I don't know, what do you call it, Allie? The number one after 300, the reborn?
Yeah, like our first episode, first one episode. Like I wasn't here for one. I wasn't here for 101. Wasn't here for 201, but I'm here for 301.
And 401 and 501 and no.
And that's how we were talking about. We're like, let's set realistic goals. So first we're like, let's make it to 500. Let's make it to 400. Let's make it to 301.
Yeah, okay. Right. Bingo. We can do that. We can do that. That's funny. Yeah, that's funny that we started talking about that because that's one thing actually in the classroom right now that I'm working on with high school students is really setting real goals. You know, we've heard of the SMART goals or the SMARTER goals, which I like. You know, that's with the E at the end. It's where you evaluate and then, you know, what is R? Somebody keeps telling me what R is. It's I don't know. It's a celebration, right? You want to, you know, repay yourself or something like that. So I'm totally botching the R at the end. SMART. So I just did this lesson today with the students, but they don't know how to set real goals. They're like, yeah, I don't want to procrastinate. Yeah. I want better grades. I'm like, what does that mean? You know? I don't know if I actually just set out on this one just to do 100 and it just kept going. Like the 100th episode was with, Trace Pickering and, the Iowa Big, and it was amazing. And I was like, you know, I actually traveled out to Iowa to do it, with a camera and everything. And then I was like, well, I can't stop now. Let's keep going. So
it's a huge, landmark. I have some stats to share a little bit later in the podcast about podcasting. And for those of you who, you know, who listen and everything, like I'm going to suspect most of the podcasts you listen to don't have 300 episodes. I mean, like very few do, but then again, if you're listening to podcasts, like ones that you enjoy, they tend to, be the ones that last, or like if they're ones you listen to for an extended period of time. But to your point, to start off this podcast about like goal setting and everything, when we had Derek Griffin on for episode 300, when you think about a student and somebody who is making smarter goals and has that it is a natural ability. I mean, you can kind of just tell some people are just go-getters. I mean, right? He like you had the students in this class and they had to like sell 25 t-shirts and he came back with a check. Like,
yeah.
He was like off the streets.
Yeah.
Selling these t-shirts or getting businesses to buy in. Like, he goes above and beyond levels that, you know, he doesn't need smarter goals. He is the goal, right? Like, which,
right.
Thinking about these types of things, but that's not intuitive or a natural skill set for a lot of students, a lot of people in general, and education and leaning into those. I think they're like forever skills. I don't, they're not even durable. They're just like, how do you take action in life? How do you, you know, start something and follow through with it? And, you know, this idea that Derek gave us with finding your people and being in alignment with those people is huge. And there's new energy and everything in that type of environment. So I don't know if it's part of the smarter goal, but you know, there is power in teams. There's power in numbers. I know that like our dynamic and the energy that we have, like I wouldn't enjoy podcasting by myself.
Oh man, it was hard. Meeting the people was great, but yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. I'm never going back without you as a co-host. So there you go.
All right. I'll accept that.
All right. It is. It's interesting because when we were talking about it in class today, you can really see, I think it's time management, it's focus management, and all these are like little habits that are they go along with a goal, right? And Derek definitely had that. He was the package in high school, right? If you're looking at academics. But what's interesting is he was talking to his other two, you know, colleagues, who made up that kind of special year. And it was Kelvin and Dan, and very different, like very different. Like Kelvin did not like school at all. He was just like, kind of went through the motions but we had deep conversations like after school or in class and such like that. So his mind was working in a different way. It wasn't checked a box, and it still does to this day when he's running his company. And then Dan was like, I'm going to fight this to the end. I'm going to punch the walls, man. Like, not in a bad way, not in like FU school or anything like that. It was like, you know, you want to do something, you just go do it. Like, and it was like, oh my gosh. Like, and I think he was annoyed. He'll probably say this. He was annoyed by all the non-motivated people around him. And so I think that environment led him to creating his own environment after he graduated high school. And yeah, he's been on the podcast as well. We should probably have all these guys back sometime or another, but it's very interesting. And you know, the other thing that I was thinking about, Ellie, was, you know, as I'm going back through a lot of different people on the podcast and a lot of different like thought processes and stories, I think one of the key things to do as a disruptor of education and or a person who is in the system or teaching in general is to really understand your personality and the other person's personality. I tended to not really react or respond well to somebody with the opposite personality of mine until I started digging into it. And then you can see like, okay, there's going to be, number one, everybody in your class is a child. So let's realize that, right? Let's not get too mad. But also when you realize that somebody's got a very different personality, that's when the empathy starts to kick in. And, you know, as I was thinking about from our last conversation on 300, I really realized that there are a lot of students who are the opposite personality of me. The one that is, you know, out of the 16 that are just, you're going to butt heads with if you let it. And once you realize that, it now becomes okay. And you're like, okay, so you try to empathize more with that person rather than just, you know, doing it your way, which is never going to work, especially when your personalities are different or opposite. So
it is a clash of personalities for sure in some classrooms, some years. And I think it speaks to what we mentioned on last week's episode, is that when you, on the opposite end, when you do find that, you know, someone like Derek, someone like Dan, or in a group of students that just have that special, you know, mix that you can't always recreate, to like really lean into that. And we talked about peak educational experiences and how important those are. And I think it was presented as it made sense from the perspective of the students. And when you are, you know, if you are still in school or if you're an educator, you probably know and can think of some top educational experiences. But if you're on the other side, if you're an educator, if you're a teacher, I think it's really important to remember and think about your own top teaching experiences, and then also work on recognizing when you have that special class, that special group of students, to lean into that, because not only are you potentially creating peak educational experiences, core memories for that group, but for yourself as well. I've said this before, like there's something special about the first year teaching, and just because it's your first time. And I mean, I'll never forget those students, but there was a class, and I believe it was my sixth year teaching, pretty sure it was my sixth. And it was this junior level chemistry class. It was a smaller class, and I mean, they're probably my favorite class of all time. And I can't put like a finger on it. It was actually one of my smaller classes. I think we had 14 students, which is really small for a giant high school that I worked at. Every single personality was like so unique, and you would never think that these students would like on paper like get along. Or it was just this, big personalities. And I mean, like, you know, you have classes where you can put anybody with anybody and it's like this magical thing and like everybody learns, and it was something like that. And we got to do so many more labs that I've never been able to fit into a curriculum because the pay, like, they would just want more.
Yeah.
They would just go fast. And on paper, you would never have guessed that this would have been the group of students that was. It basically became like an honors level chemistry class in a regular, in quote unquote, leveling. And some of these kids went on, and the reason I speak about this is because most students in high school, if you have multiple levels of chemistry, you take like a pre-AP chemistry class before you go into AP. And then there's like just like a regular junior level chemistry class that doesn't typically lead you into AP chemistry. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having in this class of 14, three of those students go on to AP Chem and get fours and fives on the AP exam, which is crazy. And in our school, none of the other chemistry teachers would recommend regular students, I'm putting that in quotes, for AP, because they wouldn't be successful. And these students were scoring better than some of the honors kids because they had gotten an honors level experience. But it was just kind of like this, I'm still in contact with a lot of those students, and it's very special. And they say that some of the labs that I ended up just creating because it was what they were demanding ended up being some labs that I would try and sneak in other years if I could, because they just ended up being these really fun learning experiences that were created from this very special group. And so I leaned into that. It's one of my favorite years. It was more work, quote unquote, but it was so special. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. I think that's spot on, recognizing when you see something like that happen. And has that happened again? Like, have you had another class close to that?
The 2020-2021 school year, the second semester, we had Noah Schell on the podcast. He was part of that group. They're a very, very close second. I couldn't recreate that class again. And it was special because it was the spring of 2021. So now we're like a year under the pandemic, and it was an honors level class. And there's actually two classes I had that were just their desire and hunger for learning coming out of full pandemic online teaching to then being in the classroom. You could never recreate that transition for learners who are hungry to learn. So I've never felt like this like hunger and thirst for learning at the high school level like I did from those students ever before in my career, because they had just spent the last year almost online, and so they were back in the classroom, and their joy and excitement, it just like exuded their pores and was coming out of every pore. And like, I mean, I couldn't give them enough work. Like, they just wanted more, and I'm like, I don't have any more. They were just these incredible students. A lot of them were part of the world. I think they got second place in the world's robotic tournament that goes on in like Florida. I mean, these kids are brilliant and just incredible. Noah, I don't know if he was on that robotics team, but a bunch of them were. And it's like, that was just a special year of students anyway. Mm-hmm. And I had like all of them in class. So a very close second for a totally different environment. That was, you don't get those very often though.
Yeah.
Right. Have you had, besides your, 2016 year, it sounds, something close to that, like pre-podcast even?
Right. Yeah. That was actually 2015. And then 2016 was when we started, but I'm trying to think, like, I mean, yeah, I think there are a couple of courses, not groups that were constantly thinking business. It's hard to compare because, you know, Derek and his friends, that group would come in and they started the business club basically. And they actually, they created things outside of the classroom while they were working inside mm-hmm. of the classroom around business. So I have never seen anything like that before or since, but classes, I have seen classes where, like you said, you get a higher percentage of just straight up curious learners, right? And when you're curious, and they're not, like I said, they're not all the greatest students. They don't take tests. Well, this is why I don't really do a lot of tests. I do a lot of projects in my classes. But they just get going and they can juice up an entire class, right? And I think, you know, those were some of them that were amazing. Jake Weinberg, who was the he got the Scrum certification as a freshman in class of all sophomores, juniors, and seniors. That class was also probably my top classroom because what they did is we split up and I, you know, Daryl Allen, we call him Professor Daryl Allen, who came in and taught the kids who wanted to learn Scrum, you know, project management. They got to do it. We took 8 kids to do it. And then the other half of the kids actually ran a business. And then the project managers came in after they learned project management, the basics of it, and consulted with each of the companies in the class. We had a high percentage of people who were very curious. I was letting them, you know, create a business and make money. I mean, and then the Scrum students would come over. We had 2 kids out of that class actually become Scrum certified, PSM-1 certified, which will get you at that time a $90,000 entry level job. Like, and you know, one was a freshman and one was a junior. So, you know, those are the things like we did. I would say that would be my close second. But when you realize it, you're just like, and that was actually my last year at Oak Park and River Forest High School. I was like, if you're going to go out, I'm going to try something so big. And Professor Daryl Allen came in and we worked together and he donated a lot of his time. He came in and worked with the students a couple times a week. Who wanted to be Scrum certified, excellent educator. That's, you know, and then we just started building like different things here and there. But I've never seen anything that deep, before. I still have students though, who do some amazing things. I mean, we talked to, you know, the last year's crew from, Stag, with Gabby and, Patrick, you know, those are your ones off that would drive some things. I'm still looking for that collegiality, you know, those curious crew of kids. So
I can think of at least a few students every year that really, you know, they're just the students that they're the reason why you teach and mm-hmm. you lean into that, even if you have a challenging year schedule, et cetera, and whatnot. And, It is good to note that those experiences can happen for educators. And I think when we talk to our guests and our students, almost all of them that we talk to had either a mentor or an experience that disrupted their education,
mm-hmm.
right? It was a tipping point. It was a shift, even if the class wasn't their favorite class or subject or whatnot, but like there was something more than the class that created that kind of transition. And we don't always know the impact. Like there could be students that we didn't necessarily connect with or had like opposite personalities when they were in our class, but they took some of those lessons that we didn't think they were taking, and mm-hmm. it has transformed their life. And we won't necessarily hear about that. But to those listening to this podcast, if you have had, you know, an educational experience with a teacher, with an educator of some kind, and you never let them know, I would encourage you to do that. And I think, you know, those relationships 5, 10, 15 years later are so important. And for teachers, if you can, to try and reach out to past students and reconnect, because those conversations really do help on both sides of the coin. And hearing Derek talk about stuff that happened, you know, 6, 7 years ago, or maybe even 8 years ago now, when he was in school, and how transformational those experiences have now kind of set up a trajectory for his mindset and future growth. That, and he sees the power of, if you're not too far out of education, giving back to education and being part of that network and passing the torch, as he said, to the kind of next generation, it really does fuel the fire. Mm-hmm. And it really does help move things forward. I think we can get stuck in stagnation when we're only in the daily routine of mm-hmm. our life, and we aren't having those kind of deeper, richer conversations. That's why one of the things that I really love about the podcast is it keeps my perspective fresh on education. And it, just based on those that we talk about, the conversations and topics that we reflect on, and all of those pieces are helping to kind of break down the barriers that keeps education in a traditional model. Because mm-hmm. as we noted with Derek, he wasn't necessarily in a super non-traditional school, but he had a couple, and then obviously grew into more of them, experiences that then exploded his growth. And it's just so important to recognize that it doesn't necessarily take a whole like tearing down of a school building and starting everything new, which of course is awesome and great. And like those people are really thinking outside of the box, by all means, that's what we love here, but it doesn't have to be this like firework explosion of newness. It can be thoughtfully crafting one or two, you know, real world connections that really hit home, really get kids to see the bigger picture in the topic that you're teaching, that can just like totally transform everything.
Yeah. And I wanted to, like, I have this here, and I don't know if you can see that if you're on the YouTube channel. Wow. I don't, have I talked about this? So this is a little, it's a brown kind of crystal stone heart, I guess. And it was on a keychain, so it fell off, but a young lady gave that to me, and at the end of my first year or second year, I think it was my second year at Stag. No, it was the end of my first year. And she didn't do well in my class. It was a first period career planning course, but she wrote me a note, and she basically was like, I really want to thank you, because every day I would come in and like kind of like shoot off a motivational quote or show a short like YouTube or part of a TED talk or something. And that's what she took from it. And she wrote me this really nice note. This girl hardly ever said anything in class, you know, and when she gave that to me at the end of the year, like it was the last day. So I couldn't like, I just like, thank you for, you know, the gift and everything. And, but like that, is what that helped me realize is, as educators, we have so much pressure to get these kids to a certain grade. And sometimes we forget that, you know what, the grade doesn't really matter to some kids. And as a matter of fact, it's mattering less and less. It becomes now, how can I grow your confidence? How can I grow, like, how can I basically be the best that I can be for everybody in this classroom? And so I actually carry this every day. It's in my pocket, and I show students that, and I'm like, look, I, you know, how much you put into this is how much you're going to get out of it. You know, I'm not going to chase you down if you're getting a C minus, like you, but I will tell you, I believe in you, and I'm going to give you every opportunity to do the best that you can do. And that kind of came from that. And I always keep my notes, like my desk right now. Thank goodness you guys can't see it on the YouTube. It's a little messy, as every beginning of the school year is, but I keep notes. And I, on the hardest, darkest days where, you know, it's just tough, I go back in and I read those. And I also go back to podcasts that we've done and what I've done before. And I show students parts of those podcasts as well. And they're their peers at the same time. And, you know, can you teach motivate? Let's go back to Patrick. Can you teach motivation in high school? No. And, you know, like our students, when they see that, they're just like, oh, like a light bulb will come on with some of them, because, you know, they just, they got to understand it, at that point, you know, and I'm talking secondary again, you have to be your own, you have to be accountable. Like, in the schools are going to do everything possible to get your grade up, because they want, you know, we talked about the tax dollars and all that stuff and the rankings, blah, blah, blah. But when you tell a student the reality of it, they get it. And sure. And I think that's what those things represent. So I'm just going to bounce off of what you said there, Allie. Like, I mean, anybody listening, like if you still have somebody, like, I, you know, like you just send off an email, send off a hey on Facebook or whatever and say, hey, you know, I just remember this in your class and thank you. You know, it really does make a difference. And having these conversations like we do, anybody can, you don't have to have a podcast. And I'm going to go back to that too. You can just, you know what? I guarantee you, if you put something out there, and this is for the older teachers who are on like Facebook and say, or even on Instagram, look, I am looking for something here, a little help. Can you help me out? It always happens where you're going to get comments from previous students. You may not get 100, but you'll get a couple, and then you just start the conversation. It's that easy. And they're going to tell you, you know, they're going to tell you what you did the greatest, right? No one's going to get online and say you sucked. Well, maybe, I don't know.
Well, you're probably not, those voices probably aren't going to find you, but unless you're, you know, super viral, and then, right. Well, bring on the hate, I guess.
Yeah.
that's what happens apparently at that level, which we don't want that. So what I wanted to share, so on episode 300, I was like, look, I don't have the exact stats about podcast success rates, and I'm gonna like asterisk all of these stats were from like podcasting websites, a Google search. I noticed some general trends. Don't hold any of these numbers as like the number, but in general, because they're always changing, right? That's just my little like legalese, you know, let's not be crazy here on the podcast with numbers. But I wanted to illuminate for those who are our regular listeners and who have been with the podcast for 1, 10, 100 episodes. And if you have been like a really long-term listener, like, please let us know. I would personally love to know. Reach out on any platform, find us, and let us know what you enjoy about it, because obviously that we like that feedback. But if you are a listener of podcasts, you may not know how many podcasts are out there, how successful, like or like how long it takes for podcasts to kind of like settle into a percentage wise. So let's just go with, there's like millions, some say like over 3 million podcasts, around, like somewhere I saw 2.5 to 3.5 million podcasts listed on Apple Podcasts. Okay. So there's a lot, but only about 500,000 are active, meaning they are putting out semi-regular content. So that's like a huge decrease in, okay, cool. There's like maybe 1 million of those podcasts put out an episode and then nothing more. Right. So you've got a quarter of them at most maybe are active. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then of the active ones, about only 44% have less than 3 episodes.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Right. This is where I was trying to get at yesterday, or well, like last yeah. week's episode, right? Which was like, it's really not that many to have like even like a few episodes, let alone 100, let alone 300. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, only 10% of podcasts have over, of the active ones, have over 100 episodes. So we're wow. looking at like 45,000 now.
Mm-hmm.
Only, this is, again, I don't know like the full statistics on this, but it says only 156,000 podcasts release a weekly episode.
Mm.
Okay. But to be a top performing podcast, you have like around 800 downloads in a week period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that puts you in the top 5%. If you get over about 4,000, that's like 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the last 28 days, you said we had like over 1,000, couple thousand right. downloads and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you listening here, we are a top, not like the top 44%, not like the top 10%. Like we're in the top 5 to 1% range. And like lifetime, guys, we're coming up on 100,000 downloads, listens of the podcast, which mm-hmm. is one, incredible. And two, I'm just trying to give some breath of like, it's not normal. You're listening to a normal podcast. Okay. This isn't like one that put out 3 episodes and then see you later. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be here. Peter's been here for forever. Okay.
And, I love that. All right.
We don't have any plans of stopping, no. But just things to think about, like, you know, to, for those listening, you know, like we love that you're here and want to be part of the Disrupt Education podcast. We're working on ways to kind of grow the reach and impact that mm-hmm. these conversations can have, because what I have noticed in the past year from being a podcaster and having conversations with people are like, oh, you do a podcast, what's it about? And I'm like, Disrupt Education, which is very catchy, by the way. So good job on that, Peter. is that so many people do not understand the behind the scenes, like they only know their experience in education and like from a consumer standpoint, mm-hmm. not a creator standpoint, not from a in the school building standpoint. And so these conversations are needed. And if you have a friend or a colleague or someone that you know that has no idea about the state of education and like ways to disrupt it, but maybe you are like a parent or you're a student or you're a concerned citizen and you want to learn more about like different ways to do school, like this is the place to be, because I don't know another podcast that shares the types of stories that we have. And like, you can, if you want like the perfect transformation from episode 1 to 300, like go back and listen to Derek mm-hmm. Griffin, who was a barely graduated high school senior when mm-hmm. episode 1 to now, like he's a world renowned musician and could be a world renowned speaker if you listen to him.
Right.
I mean, go back and listen to that episode. It's going to blow your mind. He's one of the best speakers that I've ever personally interviewed. So eloquent, so down to earth, but also just amazing, like what seeds, how you can sow them, and just the beauty of a podcast that has that kind of impact on individuals, because it's all about the individual, right, change and the local change, you know, that's where Disrupt Education can really make an impact. And you listening to this can make an impact, because it only takes one to create a lot of ripples effects. And we saw that with Derek, and we've seen that with many guests, but he's just our 300th episode guest. So it's just, it's incredible to kind of hear his journey since episode one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm going to add on to that. One of the things that's difficult is, I guess now that you put the numbers out there, I'm realizing, and frankly, like on live while we're recording this, I'm realizing, oh my gosh, we're kind of a big deal. But I know I get a lot of emails for people who want to be part of the podcast, on the podcast. You know, if you're looking to, we have a lot of alignments with a lot of brands. So, you know, if you're looking to do some, you know, sponsoring of the podcast, keep sending the emails. We're working on a few different things right now. But also we have a lot of people who want to be guests, and it's very difficult. So what we have done is, and this happened in the last couple episodes, at the bottom of the notes of every episode, there's a form. So fill out that form. Okay. That's going to be the easiest way. I'm telling you, we have hundreds of people reaching out, hundreds. And, you know, we want to try to get everybody. It's not always going to work. You know, filling out that form will be the next step as well. And, you know, it's, the, I guess, you know, it's more money, more problems. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, it's just the growing pains, you know, that we're working with.
And we're trying to be in alignment. That's really important to us. And I think Derek did a great job of talking about that, is that, right, we do have a lot of people who talk to us and want to be on the podcast. But for those of you listening, like, we're very choosy, because we want to bring you the best experiences. Also, this is just like business, you know, 101. Like, it's not what you know, it's who you know. So honestly, a lot of the guests are, we have conversations, and this is behind the scenes stuff, which I always love. I love when podcasters do this. Like, it's, we're having a conversation and then we're like, oh, I know someone who does something similar. And then we reach out to them. A lot of our guests that we bring on, it's because Peter and I had like this idea and we're like, who do we know?
Right.
So you could also just, if you want to be on, it doesn't have to be our podcast, but just like, if you want to do something, start by like building a relationship with someone. I mean, like, if, I don't know what episode it is where we talk about kind of our backstory, but it started off like as a super organic, like a conversation connection on LinkedIn, and it grew from there. And now we've been podcasting together for over a year. Like, I couldn't tell you how it happened. You know, like, there wasn't like this button press switch on. Like, it just, it was conversations over a period of time. And those are the best ones.
Yeah.
And it's same with like the podcast, right? It's growing organically, like over time. And so we appreciate obviously everyone who is a part of Disrupt Education podcast, but it is growing. 300 episodes is a big deal. Derek really illuminated how big of a deal that time between episode one and 300 can be. And so imagine the impact, and we talk about this on the podcast a lot, of like just getting started with something that's going to make a change in the positive direction. And that action, while you will likely not know where it's going to go, is, you're going to look back and you're going to be amazed at, wow, I just got started on this. I just started the Disrupt Education podcast. I'm putting just in quotation marks. Right. And I'm sure you didn't imagine the network and people you were going to meet, and then in conversations you were going to have when you started it. Then where it is today.
It's the best part. It really is. It's the absolute best part. And you know, we go into the next 100, you know, and, you know, Allie has brought so much. We've talked, you know, we've got some ideas, we've got some concepts. I'm just going to kind of throw this little out there, that Allie just subbed at a school. the first time since you left the you know, the full-time teaching position. There's a conversation, trust me on that one. There's a lot of things that we're going to be talking about that are top of mind. And stick around, because we're going. Again, just thank you everyone for the support, for listening. You know, we're closing in on 100,000 download. I mean, it's big time stuff. And 301. Well, we did it. So our next goal is 302, which we already have a guest. So
but we're gonna make it.
Yes, we're gonna make it. So thank you all. Really appreciate you all. Again, if you have any questions or anything, you know, drop us a line. But also, if you want to be a guest or know of somebody, fill out that form. Can't promise you anything, but we can try. But we're going to continue to disrupt education. So for Allie Privet, I'm Peter Hostrasser. Thank you all so much. 302 is next. We'll be getting it. Thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode of the Disrupt Education Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode.
Are you ready to disrupt the educational arena you're a part of? For more ways to get involved in the work we do here at Disrupt Education, check us out at disrupteducation.co or find us on LinkedIn at Peter Hostrasser or Allie Privet.
Our mission here is to help facilitate and amplify changes in the educational system through local initiatives and help you scale them into community movements. Our building network of disruptors in education are working to move beyond scores and grades as the only measure for student learning. If your school district, college, campus, or organization is looking for facilitators of this work, reach out on our website or social media.
And if you have any thoughts or feedback on this week's episode or any episode, we'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep pushing the boundaries, taking risks, and most importantly, disrupting education.